Series 5 of In Suspense, a podcast and vodcast for fans and writers of crime fiction. I'm Leslie Cara and my co-host is Lauren North.
Hello and welcome to our mini-sodes episodes with writer and psychologist Philippa East. Hello, Philippa.
Hello, hello.
Philippa is the author of psychological suspense novels Little White Lies, which was shortlisted for the CWA New Blood Dagger Award, and her latest release, Safe and Sound. Alongside her writing, Philippa works as a clinical psychologist. So each of these episodes is going to be about 10 minutes long and focuses on the issues that most of us face at some point during our writing life. So let's get cracking.
Hello and welcome to our penultimate mini-sode with the amazing Philippa East. We hope you are enjoying these episodes as much as we are. Today we're talking about building our confidence in our writing. It's so easy to have our confidence knocked, isn't it, with rejections and bad reviews or intense structural edits that sort of knock us for six. And it can be hard to keep believing that we're good enough. Don't you agree, Laurie?
Yeah, I do completely. And I think it's especially hard because we work alone. So we don't have that boss in the office just saying, good job today. Or, you know, you've done a lot of hours. Great. Well done. There's no one patting us on the back on a daily basis. You know, we get extreme validation from editors when we've it's off to copy edits and that feels amazing. But, you know, that's months go by before you get to that, don't they? So, you know, it is really hard to sort of keep that level of confidence, I think. And my first question, Philippa, is connected to what happens when we lose our confidence in ourselves. And it happened to me when my second book got rejected. And I've talked about this before, that it wasn't hard structural edits. It was just a hard no, write something else. And it knocked my belief in myself, I think, for quite a few months. I think it wasn't until I'd written the second book too, and then a third book, and that had gone to copy edit, that I started to believe in myself again. And so my question is, if someone finds themselves in that position and they've lost their confidence, or if I find myself in that position again, how can we build our confidence a bit quicker rather than just time taking its course?
How do we speed this process up rather than just time heals all wounds eventually? I hard relate because I my third book is, you know, kind of well on the way now, but I initially wrote a book three that I then had to bin, and it was kind of, you know, not so different to you, Laurie. And, you know, it was incredibly tough, and there was a period where I was sort of generating ideas of how to fix the book, you know, sort of, and then sharing them with my agent and editor, and it was just like crash land. And I was so aware of that teetering on that thing of like, I could really just let myself go into this complete, well, I did for a while, just a complete slough of despond of like, you know, I'm never going to get this right. Where did I go wrong? How have I managed to write two books and then become a terrible writer? You know, it's really hard, isn't it? And I think, again, I think part of it goes back to this idea that creativity isn't objective. It's not like you can be like, well, I did X, Y, and Z, so it's come out right and I've succeeded. Or the way to get it right is, oh, I got X wrong, but I just need to, you know, tick that box and now it'll all work. You know, like with this third book, you know, I actually really liked it and really enjoyed writing it. My sister, who is a very good first reader for me, was like, I think it's, you know, better writing than either of your first two books. But it just wasn't what I understand now is it wasn't right for my brand. It wasn't right for what my audience were going to be anticipating from me. And then I tried to make this kind of Frankenstein monster when I tried to make it more sort of psych thrillery, and it just ended up a complete car crash. So I think something that's useful to have a think about is the difference between, if we think about, if we say to ourselves, you know, my book didn't work, or my book's not good enough. Didn't work for what, or not good enough for what? And it might be that it didn't work for you know, what the book needed to be for, you know, the next book in your publishing career. Or it might be that, you know, if someone's submitting for the first time to agents, it might be that the market isn't fitting your book, or it might be that, you know, that's not good enough, but it's because it just needs a bit more work or something. So I think, again, it's trying not to, there's some thinking patterns that we can get into again, which can become problematic here. One is the idea of what we call overgeneralization, which is this manuscript right now is not what my editor wants. Therefore, everything I've ever written and ever will write is terrible. That's, again, that's kind of taking one example and generalizing it to everything. Mm-hmm. And also this sort of idea of all or nothing thinking, like my editor's not totally happy with this thing, therefore she's never going to be happy with anything. It's like, it's either got to all be working perfectly or none of it is working at all. And again, those are not accurate. It's, again, sort of trying to get a bit more specific about what's actually going on. And I think, like, I do think, though, that a lot of this stuff comes down to, like, having to hang on to fundamental faith in yourself as a writer. And that sounds really wishy-washy and it's really difficult. But I think I would say faith that, you know, fundamentally I am good enough. And you can say nobody gets, a book published in this world without being a good writer. You just can't do it. So fundamentally, I must be getting something right, even if something right now isn't working. And it might be that, you know, I'm good enough. I just need to put more work in. It just needs a page one rewrite or whatever it might be. Or I need a different concept because this one isn't the marketable one. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I'm not a good enough writer. And even if we get to the point of thinking, actually, I'm not good enough because, you know, I've put my novel out there and no agents are wanting it, we can say, I can have faith in myself that I can get better. You know, not good enough yet, but I can get better. And there's loads of ways to learn stuff about the writing craft that will improve your writing. So it's having faith that I'm either already good enough, it's just that there's a mismatch between what I've produced and what's wanted, or that, okay, maybe I'm not good enough yet, but I've got faith that I can get better. Yeah. And I think sometimes what's hard when we talk about self-esteem with our writing is we need to sometimes check with ourselves, do I have a more general problem with self-esteem? And is that something I maybe need to work on? Because if my general self-esteem is very fragile, or I tend to be very negative about myself in kind of most of areas of my life, it's not likely to be very different with writing. But if you can build up your general self-esteem, of course that will have a knock-on effect in writing as well. And the last thing I would just say with that is sometimes there's a person that you're interacting with who's kind of just raining on your parade. Like, I think I'd got to the point where my agent and my editor were freaking out a little bit about needing to get a good book out of me, that they were kind of too quick to jump on my ideas and be like, no, this isn't working either. And it was just crushing my confidence. And actually what I did is I'm just going to go back to my little writing community with my writing buddies who love me and believe in me. And they were just like, you're brilliant, Philippa, you can do this. And I think your idea is going to be fab. And I was like, that's okay. It might not be 100% true, but it's what I need to hear right now just to get me into a position where I feel like I can push forward again and try again and keep trying. So yeah, just sometimes there's a mismatch between the way someone's coming at it for you and what you're actually needing in that moment.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Philippa, is that we almost need to separate ourselves from our writing and our craft, and not to be so bound up with the writing and feel that it's a reflection on us as a person. So how do we do that? How do we separate ourselves from our writing?
Yeah, it's a lovely question. And I think to a degree, we can't entirely, because I think going back to what we said at the beginning, I think to be a writer, you have to put yourself into it. You know, I think if you're just knocking off any old shit that you really didn't care about and you've got there's no part of you in it, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be that kind of writer. Even if it's possible, I don't want to be that kind of writer. So I think there's always going to be a risk that you are making yourself vulnerable and you are going to have to take some knocks to your sense of yourself sometimes. I think that's just par for the course. But I think there's ways that we can make that less catastrophic. And I think there is a degree to which we can say, being a writer is one part of my identity, but it's not necessarily the whole part. So even if things aren't going brilliantly with my writing, again, it doesn't have to be the be all and end all of my sense of myself. Sometimes with some of my clients, when I'm working on self-esteem, is I'll get them to draw a pie chart and literally say, how much of my self-esteem rests on this thing? How much on this thing? So it might be, we can think about my success as a writer or my success in my job in general, my role as a friend, my role as a mum, my hobby that I am really, you know, really into, you know, how good I am at line dancing, for example, or, you know, all of these different things that can go together to make self-esteem. And what we want, what makes our self-esteem more resilient, is when we've got a range of things that we can pin our self-esteem on, and we've got a good number of them that generally go well. So either if we pin our self-esteem on just one thing, like only my writing defines how decent and valued a person I am, that's a very vulnerable position to be in, because when it's going well, it's great. And when it's not, you're stuffed, basically. But so to have a range of things means you've not got all your eggs in one basket, but also to make sure that you're trying to connect with things for your self-esteem, which generally go well. So don't have a whole range of things that you pin your self-esteem on that you're crap at, you know, like that's not, because you're just going to be like, I'm terrible in all these domains, therefore I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, so I'm certainly not going to be pinning my self-esteem on Wordle anytime soon.
Not Wordle. There, everyone's obsessed with it.
Yeah. Sorry, Philip, I just had to get that in there.
I've not dipped my toe in that water yet. I'm wondering whether, yeah, the time may come.
Don't.
But
don't,
yeah, you
go there.
You can literally draw a pie chart and think, what are all the, what, how many slices do I have? What do they represent? And how well is each one going? And that can make you think, okay, am I kind of just really narrowing my focus down? And then I think the other way in terms of this idea of separation is separating out me and my writing and the market. Because again, you know, if your writing matters to you and you're excited and proud of what you're writing, that comes first and foremost. And that sometimes might be that your book doesn't sell brilliantly, but it means something to you. Or, you know, your dream agent, it wasn't for them. But, you know, I think it's important to separate it out. Just because the market doesn't like it or doesn't want it doesn't mean it doesn't have value. They're such separate things. Just the creative world itself is your precious world to do the things within that world that have meaning to you.
That's brilliant advice. Let's say like we have, our confidence has dipped. Is there something we can do like on a day-to-day basis, like almost like a bit of validation? Is it like post-its on the mirror saying, you know, you're great? Like what is it on a day-to-day? Is there anything we can do to sort of pick ourselves up?
Yeah, well, I think the way that sort of picking yourself up, I guess we've talked about some of these things already, is, you know, you can look back on some of the past successes as evidence that, you know, I am capable of this. It might be connecting again with people who are going to boost your confidence, who are going to just be cheerleaders for you. Because sometimes, yes, in an ideal world, we'd do that cheerleading for ourselves and we wouldn't need anybody else to validate us. But come on, let's get real. You know, we all need a pep talk sometimes. So there's nothing wrong with seeking that out. Just being like, do you know what? Can you just tell me some good things that I really need to hear right now? And then I think more generally, this idea of how to keep our confidence up as writers, I think connecting to a bunch of stuff that we've already talked about, thinking about making sure that you're not doing things which are naturally going to knock your confidence. So, you know, knowing that we tend to scan for negatives, knowing that we tend to naturally kind of compare up, so that we're always kind of looking above ourselves and comparing our achievements to what goes above. Knowing these kind of biases, you can on a daily basis be mindful and correct them. So for example, compare down instead. Compare where you've got to compared to where people are who haven't got there yet. Or what have you achieved now that you haven't achieved last year? Those are much more healthy comparisons to make. So I think, yeah, kind of doing those kind of conscious behaviors that are good for your confidence, and not letting yourself go into behaviors like reading a load of one-star reviews that you know are going to knock your confidence. You know, then you say, why can't I be more confident in my writing? The other thing that I've always found helpful is like reading about other authors successes but also failures. Like going back to what you were saying, Laurie, before about what happened with your book two, what happened with my book three, I think knowing that, for example, having writing a whole book that completely doesn't work, even when you've already been published, knowing that that's actually a really common experience means you're much less likely to catastrophize it when it happens to you. And I think, you know, let's just put it all out there for all our aspiring authors or debut authors, like, we've been there, it's happened to us. So like, if it happens to you, it doesn't mean you're not still a successful writer or going to be a successful writer. Successful writers fail. That's just how the world is. And it, you know, they're not, that's not a contradiction.
I love that. Thank you.
That's all we've got time for. So thank you for listening to our mini-sode with psychologist Philippa East. Philippa writes novels that really put the psychological into psychological suspense. And you can find a link to both of her novels, Little White Lies and Safe and Sound, in the description. Do check them out because they're absolutely fabulous books. And thank you so much, Philippa, for giving us your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And if you haven't listened to already, then do look at Philippa's full In Suspense interview, which is on author wellbeing, which is series 4, episode 3.
So that's it from us. It's goodbye from Philippa.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from them.